Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to the sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. So this is the last Sunday of the year, and so as I was I actually didn't pick the passage. I've decided every opportunity I get to preach in the morning, I'll be working through 1 John. And it so happened that at Christmas I preached from verses 1 to verse 4. And so today we, verse 1 to verse 4, yes. And today we find ourselves in verse 5 to verse 10. And so the sermon this morning sort of fits into what you'll already be seeing on social media as people are encouraging us as the new year is coming. Motivational speakers are already trending on TikTok and Instagram, telling us how we can start over in the new year. People are already telling you that it's a new year, and so we want new energies. We want new vibes. It's a new year, so already be thinking, who do you need to cut off? Every year we're cutting new people off. It's a new year, so you need to make new friends. It's a new year, you need to focus on you. It's a new year, you need to focus on your goals, your friends, your dreams. Focus on doing what will make you happy. We're already in that season where we're getting a lot of this. And friends, all these are good and well, but these things do not last. This morning, I want to encourage us that what we actually need in the new year is an actual blank slate. What we need for the new year is an actual blank page. What we need in the new year is a new canvas for us to have the opportunity to almost write a new story of our lives. A new canvas that allows us to enjoy what is good, what is right. A new page that provides us genuine joy and genuine peace and genuine hope. So my argument this morning is God does provide us an actual clean slate. God does provide us an actual blank page. He enables us to start over, as it were, as we move from 366 to 1. It is possible to start 1 on a new page with God. My challenge this morning is, as you think about the new year, won't you have as the highest priority for you and your family to walk in the light? Have it as your highest priority to abide in the light. Friends, the canvas that God has given us is a canvas where sins can be forgiven, where your slate can be wiped clean because of the blood of the Lamb. And so, won't you consider with me verses 5 to verse 10 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 all the way to verse 10. Verse 5 reads, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." Verse 8. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." My little children, chapter 2, "I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Let's pray together, asking God to help us. And so, dear Lord, this morning I come asking for the light of the world to shine in my own heart. Lord, praying that my intentions and my motives would only be to bring glory to God as a conduit of your grace. This morning, Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me only that which you have provided in your word. Lord, wherever my mind or my lips go amiss, I pray that by your Spirit, You would restrain me from teaching your people error. But God, I pray that as your people listen to the teaching of your word, that you give them expository ears to listen and see if these things are so like the noble Bereans. Dear God, I also pray that hearts would be softened. That God, as your word comes, that it would penetrate our hearts, that it would convict us of all our sin, that it would lead us to repentance, that it would lead us to walk not only in newness of life, but to walk in the light. And so God, I do pray that this would be a message in season for all of us, including myself, that God, we'd all leave here singing that song we grew up singing, "Let us walk in the light of God." So we ask, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so John has mentioned in the first few verses that he had witnessed the eternal being made manifest. In verse 1, he talks about that which is from the beginning. He says he heard, he saw, he touched, he looked upon the eternal God in the flesh. In verses 1 to verse 4, he gives us the purpose of his testimony. He gives us the purpose of his proclamation of the good news of the eternal being made manifest. The purpose was that we may have fellowship with him as he has fellowship with God. Basically, John was saying the invitation for us is that we would have fellowship with God, and we'll see in this passage, as we have fellowship with God, the natural byproduct of that is we will be having fellowship with one another. And so in verse 5 he says, "This is the message that we have heard from him, the eternal, who was made manifest, and we now proclaim to you." And so today we're going to unpack that message. What was this message that he heard, that he saw, that he touched from Jesus, that he now proclaims to the world and to us here at Central Baptist Church? What I want you to notice in the structure of this text, it will really be our outline, is John gives one statement and five conditions. One statement and five conditions. And so my first point is the statement. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We see this in verse 5. He says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And so when I read this, I can almost hear John speaking, because John was, as he's writing to the church was experiencing a little bit of persecution from those who were pushing against the reality of the incarnation of Jesus. And so I can almost hear John saying, "I heard him. I heard Jesus teach about the contrast between light and darkness. I heard him. I heard this Jesus say that he is the light of the world." In fact, if you read in John's Gospel, 23 times as he referred to God being the light and the implications of that. Let me read for us a few examples. In John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John chapter 3, verse 19, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Or in chapter 8, verse 12, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And now he says in this passage, "I have heard him, and now I am telling you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." What does it mean for God to be light? Friends, God is infinitely holy. He's radiant in his nature. He is like light in that he is the source of all growth, whether it's natural growth, whether it's spiritual growth. He is like light in that he exposes everything that is dark and everything that is evil. In God, there is not even a trace of darkness. In God, there's no trace of ignorance. In him, there's no untruthfulness. There's no sin. He's not like man that he should lie. nor can he be tempted with evil, as he himself tempts no one. He is light, and so there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. There's nothing hidden that won't be made known and brought to the light by him. Because the reality is that as we walked in 2024, we were walking with the light of God shining over us. The light of God was revealing our good deeds that we did in his name. His light was revealing even our sinful and evil deeds. His light revealed our disobedience and our obedience. It revealed the moments where we trusted and abided in the vine, but it also revealed the moments where we trusted in ourselves and in the counselors of this world. And so this is the message. This is the invitation of this text, that God is inviting us to a new slate, a blank page, a better canvas, a journey of light and not of darkness. Friends, light is the promise of hope and joy. Darkness is the threat of despair and misery. This is the message that we have heard, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. He is holy, he is pure. He reveals all things and he brings growth. And friends, this statement is critical to our next five conditions. And so my next point is the conditions. If we. What John is about to do in these conditions is he's about to describe the difference in the behavior of those who claim to be Christians and those who are genuine followers of Christ. Those who have fellowship with the eternal God who is light, and those who he's going to say are deceiving themselves. Consider verses 6 and 7. In verse 6 it says, if we say we have fellowship with him, whilst we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. What I wanted to see in verses 6 and 7 is that verse 6 and 7 are contrasting parallels. Verse 6 expresses the negative, whilst verse 7 counters with a positive. And so again, read verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, whilst we walk in darkness, there's a negative, we lie and do not practice the truth. What John is saying is there are those in the church, there are those in 2024 who are claiming to be Christians, who are claiming to be walking in the light, who are claiming to have fellowship with God. There were those who are claiming to have a fellowship similar to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, God is faithful, through whom we were called into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But what John is about to reveal to us here is that the fellowship that he's talking about comes with conditions. When I read this, my mind ran away from me for a moment. Because I was thinking about those reality shows we constantly see on TV. Specifically, the marriage reality shows. Now my mind, when I say my mind ran away, it really ran away. Because I imagine for a moment a reality show hosted in heaven. The host of this reality show was Michael the Angel and the great Apostle Paul. In this reality show, in fact, I gave it a name. The name of the reality show is, What is God's Type? God is the suitor who is looking for someone who is going to be his bride. In this show, God is going to pick out from the contestants who is worthy to be married to him, who is worthy to be called his bride. You can imagine there are many who are attending the show, many who are being interviewed, and they say, I think he's going to choose me because this year I went to church. I think he's going to choose me because this year I gave half of my salary to the church. Oh, wait. I think he's going to choose me because this year I served doing X and I served doing Y. There are many who will attend the show believing that God should choose them to be their bride. But the reality is, in this reality show, God is going to prove that he doesn't choose using the same standards that man does. The reality is that many are like the fig tree that Jesus cursed to death. They show leaves of harvest, but there is no fruit. God sees our hearts. And as we've mentioned above, God sees the things that we do in secret. In fact, John is saying, I have heard the Lord teach that He would not, and in fact, He will not be in a relationship with somebody who continues to walk in the darkness. This person who says that they're in a relationship with God and yet they walk in darkness, this person is out of sync with the truth. This person is incongruent. If we think that we can abide in darkness, if we think we can walk in the patterns of habitual sin, if we think we can call ourselves the bride of Christ and have an intimate relationship with Him whilst we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That word "we lie" is the Greek word pseudomai, which comes from the verb pseudo, which means to communicate what is false and what is evident, with the evident purpose of misleading. And so the word "we lie" is pseudomai, which involves not only having the communication of a falsehood, but also the intent to deceive. And so therefore, those who are saying they have fellowship with Him, who is the light, whilst they are in continual, habitual, unbroken fellowship with sin, they do not practice the truth, but they intend to deceive with their hypocrisy. What we're going to see in this text is we may deceive others, but God is not mocked. God is not deceived. But... such a wonderful hinge word, such a wonderful contrasting parallel. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. So let's break that up a little bit. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. Friends, the reality is what John is saying, if we claim to be children of God, we need to walk as we are children of the light. We need to live our lives with Jesus as the model, with Jesus as the perfect standard of what is true and what is pure, what is righteous and what is good. Friends, if your heart is alive to the conviction of the Spirit, If your eyes are open to the holiness of God, if your desires have been changed to pursue God and the things of God, if your desires are captured by the surpassing glory of God over everything that the world has to offer, then John is saying that the fruit of that should be that you have fellowship with one another. What John is saying here is that the fellowship we have with God leads to a fellowship with one another. The fundamental, the foundational, the root cause of fellowship is not vibes. The root cause of fellowship is not the aesthetic. The root cause of fellowship is not the speakers were clear today and there were no mistakes. The worship team was on fire. The root cause of fellowship is not, oh, my friend was here or my friend wasn't here. The root cause of fellowship is not even your desires. The root cause of fellowship is walking in the light. So it would be good to ask, as we reflect on 2024, how has your fellowship been with the saints? Your absence, your neglect of, and I'm not just talking about coming to church, because many of us can do that, but my question is, have you been doing life with us? And when I say with us, I'm saying everyone here at Central, including me. Have you been doing life with us? Not just coming to church to mark a register, but have you been actually fellowshipping with the saints? What John is saying is, if you have been absent, if you have neglected doing life with us, then this is an indication that you are drifting from walking in the light. To put it plainly, those who walk in the light have fellowship with those who are in the light. The truth can be said the other way. Those who walk in darkness have fellowship with those who are in darkness. So, dear believer, where are your loyalties? Dear believer, who do you share commonality with? The truth is, and I strongly believe this, you cannot spend most, if not all, of your time with unbelievers. You cannot spend most, if not all, of your time with unbelievers who are your best friends and expect to walk in the light. Friends, those who should have access into our close friendship group should be those who are like us, who are in the light. Friends, our rubbing shoulders with the world must be always missional. Always. And so if you do have a best friend who is an unbeliever, the purpose of that friendship must be missional. Or else remove them out of your close friend group, because they are and they will pull you towards sin, because darkness consumes. Our best and closest friends must be those we share the deepest commonality with. Not just those who laugh at my jokes. Not just those who have the same interests as I do. Not just those who get my personality. It must be those who have fellowship with the Lord, who is the light. For what relationship does light have with darkness? This sermon is a call for us to start 2025 on a clean slate. It is an invitation for us to walk into 2025 walking in the light. The song that jumped to my mind is "This Little Light of Mine." I'm going to let it shine. Fast forward, on a Monday. I'm going to let it shine on a Wednesday. I'm going to let it shine in the office. I'm going to let it shine in my home. Oh, yeah, in my estate complex building a neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine in my relationships. I'm going to let it shine on a Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let my little light shine. Friends, in 2025, we have an opportunity to start on a new slate, where our desire is to walk in the light and to shine the light that is in our lives. But where do we get the opportunity for a new slate? Because the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It was the blood of Jesus that secured our forgiveness into fellowship with God. It was the blood of Jesus that cleansed us to have access into the presence of this holy God who is the light. It is the blood of Jesus that not only cleanses us for heaven, but cleanses us each day to be like Jesus. Friends, maybe you listen to this sermon and you're thinking, I'm calling you to perfection. I'm not, because you can't reach it. It does not mean that we are now free from the influence of the old man, because we know that the remaining marks of sin are still present in our lives. The flesh is still waging faithful warfare against the spirit. But what John is saying is, if you want to spot a genuine Christian, you don't spot them by perfection, but you spot them by the fight. They are fighting against their sin. They are waging warfare. They don't just give in, but they fight the flesh by the truth of God's word and by the power of the Spirit. Friends, this is actually an encouragement by John. If you have sinned, you can rest assured that not only one day, but today you can be cleansed. Not only on judgment day, on the day when Jesus comes back completely, but also today. Friends, if you have sinned in 2024, either you were a drunkard, either you were having sex outside of marriage, either you were a jealous person, either you were slanderous, either you were lazy, either you were angry, either you weren't faithful to your wife, either you weren't faithful to your... Well, whatever your sin is, name it, friends, you can enjoy the cleansing power of the blood today and start on a clean slate because of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has paid not for some sins, not for celebrity sins, but for all sins. Even that little lie you told when you were late and said it was traffic. So don't just read over this, friends. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. All sin can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And so another hymn that came to my mind, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? A commentator put it so nicely. the work of Jesus on the cross doesn't only deal with the guilt of sin that might send us to hell, but it also deals with the stain of sin which hinders our continual relationship with God. Oh, believer, be encouraged. When you have sinned and the guilt keeps coming back, there is sufficiency in the blood of the Lamb. There is a great confidence that you can have daily when you slip up, when you have those shortcomings, when you sin, you can know that those sins are graciously removed by the blood of the Lamb. Consider the next condition in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If verse 7 is true, if it is true that there is forgiveness, if it is true that there is cleansing in the blood of the Lamb, then you don't need to be in denial over your sins. You don't have to pretend as if you don't sin. If you understand what you receive from Jesus, from His finished work on the cross, then you don't need to pretend no more. Friends, in case you miss it, I'll say it again. Verse 6 and verse 7 is not calling and is not prescribing for sinless perfection. No, no, no. In fact, what John is not calling for, this verse does not mean that we become sinless, but it does mean that we sin less. We need to be careful here, however, that there is a great difference between acknowledging that I am a sinner and excusing my sin by saying, but I'm just a human. I'm a fallen human being. I'm going to sin. I'm going to make mistakes. What John is not doing is he's not giving us a ticket to sin some more, but instead he's giving us a reason to be alert. He's giving us a reason for in 2025, be watchful, be on guard. Your deceptive, sinful flesh is looking for a window to fall into sin, sin that will lead you to death. This warning from God comes with a great promise, which is our next condition in verse 9. If we confess our sins, praise the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a genuine mark of true Christianity. Friends, we need to be confessing every day because we sin every day until the Lord comes back. Friends, to confess means to own up to our sin, to our sins. It means to agree with God about what He says we have done. It means to agree with God about who He says that we are. It means to call sin, sin. It was not a mistake. It was not a slip of the tongue. It was sin. Those who are walking in the light are quick to confess because their eyes are opened to the reality of sin. Friends, if you allow sin to sit for a while, if you delay confession for a moment, I'll confess later, I'm not ready right now, what will happen is, like a rotten apple, sin will quickly look to consume your whole body. Be quick to confess. David told us the longer he delayed taking his sin to God, he says, his bones wasted away through his groaning all day long. He says, for day and night, God's hand was heavy upon him. His strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Friends, do not tarry long. Do not protect your pet sins. Your sins are a matter of life and death. Though as a believer, your sins won't cost you your eternal salvation, but they will cost you fellowship. They will cost you joy. George Truett taught that sin causes the cup of joy to spring a leak. Confession seals the leak. Is your cup full? The invitation this morning, friends, is to respond like David. David in Psalm chapter 32 verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, talking to God. My iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. In Psalm 51, verse 3 to 4, it says, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Friends, this morning, I also want to invite us to change your view on forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your transgressions from you. Believe that God is a forgiving God. Our sins, there are many we sang, but His mercy is more. We need to understand that the forgiveness of God hinges on the demands of His character and not on us. Friends, forgiveness is available because He is faithful and He is just. He is faithful in that He will keep His word. Jesus declared victory over sin on the cross. He declared the way to God open. He secured our redemption by His blood. So by keeping true to His word, there is forgiveness available for every sin committed, dear believer. Just confess it to God. Come to the throne of grace and confess. And you can actually start 2025 on a clean slate. But not only is God faithful, but He's just. God is a God of justice. His justice demands that sin be punished. He can remain just in forgiving us because our punishment was fully paid and satisfied by Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Friends, Jesus' payment for our sins made possible God's total forever forgiveness of our sins. Our sins have been wiped away. All our sins have been wiped away. So dear believer, confess. Confess and repent with the assurance that you will be forgiven of your sins. In fact, we can confess our sins because He is faithful and just. And so to help us, how does verse 9 fit into the context of this text? Well, it gives us the implication to the argument. The implication of verse 9 is that one critical part of walking in the light is confessing sin. Those who walk in the light are those who have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who are cleansed by the blood are those who are forgiven. And what is the condition of forgiveness? Confession. And then he closes with verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not with us. He repeats what he says in verse 9, but in verse 10 he repeats it strongly. What he's saying in this sentence is, if you say, I am without sin, that statement amounts to the sentence, God is a liar. Friends, if you say that you are without sin, then you are on the road to blasphemy. The sentence, I am without sin, proves that the Word, the Logos, the light of the world, has not come in to shine in truth in your heart. Friends, if you are convinced that you are without sin, then you must ask yourself the question, are you really a believer? For we can't come to Christ until we recognize how great our sin is. Because when we see how great our sin is, we see how great our need of a Savior is. And so, friends, are you washed in the blood? Have you confessed your sins? Have you experienced the forgiveness of God? And so to close, I want to close with just three quick statements. Three things to help you start 2025 on a clean slate, which all come from this sermon. Number one, believe the message in verse 5 that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Believe the message that His character is holy and radiant. Live in the reality that His truth and His light penetrates. But also, His light gives us hope for all who come to Him. So number one, believe the message that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. Number two, walk in the light of God so that you can enjoy fellowship with Him and fellowship with the saints. Those who walk in the light are those who have experienced the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Maybe quickly as an aside, determine in your heart to faithfully do life with those who are in the body and household of Christ. Number three, do not claim sinlessness as you walk in the light, but confess your sins to God, and He is faithful to forgive you and actually give you a clean slate. And so, I sang this song growing up. My brother, let's walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light of God. Let's pray. I'd like to give you a moment as you have your head bowed to, in response to the condition in verse 9, won't you just take time now to ask the God who is light to search your heart? Won't you ask the God who is light to shine His light over your heart to see if there is any sins you have kept hidden or any sins that you have become enslaved to? Won't you ask Him this morning to forgive you of those sins? Won't you ask Him this morning to help you to repent of those sins and walk in the light of God? And so in your own heart, won't you take a moment to confess your sins to God? Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.